The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see you all. So tonight I would like to read a short little poem. Maybe I'll talk about it a little bit. It's by Matty Weingast. I read a poem from him on Tuesday. It's called Grandma Sumana or Sumana. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's very short. It goes like this. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. I'll say it again. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. I think that I appreciate like this first stanza. This old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Sometimes it's true, right, that earlier in our life, we're looking after our partners, our kids, our employer, or maybe that running a household, running a business, you know, all these types of things. And sometimes it's not until later that we finally kind of learn, like, wait, I need to also take care of myself, too, after years or decades of giving. This isn't true for everybody, but it's sometimes true that looking after others is what was needed earlier, and maybe the skill that was developed. Sometimes that happens without really looking after one's own heart. After all those years, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. And then the next stanza, in some ways, could be a non sequitur. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket. So looking after oneself and being kind, kind of like tying them together. If this is not a non sequitur, the poet here is just acknowledging that being kind, whether it's kindness for oneself, to look after oneself, or just kindness for others, is a way to look after oneself. And part of the way is the stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. That is, we don't usually have remorse when we are kind, right? And the Buddhists have this expression, the bliss of blamelessness. Sometimes when we're not able to sleep at night, it's because we have regret or, oh, I can't believe I said that. Right now, I just dashed off an email before I'm coming to happy hour. I thought, oh, I should have spent more time with that. I hope that the recipient is, there's nothing bad in there. I just wish like, oh, you know, I wish I had spent a little more time with it and sent it off in added a little bit more, a little more. Context for what I was writing. So, right, often we have this, but if we don't ever have this idea, oh, I shouldn't have been kind, but instead each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep, something that serves us. Kindness is something that serves us. And so, and I've talked about this, I've given Dharma talks about it, and I've talked about it here at Happy Hour. Sometimes kindness gets short shrift. I think it's weak or only pansies are kind. But in fact, it can take real strength and real maturity to be kind. And sometimes not to, and take some courage to evaluate some of our own biases, to not allow our anger, our maybe when we feel threatened by something that's not directly threatening us, but it's threatening our sense of like how we view ourselves, to not lash out, but instead to be able to have some spaciousness and to say, well, thank you. Can you tell me some more about this? I'm not sure I completely understand, or whatever it might be. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Each act of kindness, a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. And of course, because this is happy hour, I'm going to link kindness with loving kindness practice. Sometimes loving kindness practice, while we're doing it, we don't feel anything in particular. Maybe you even feel stiff and dry and forced. But it can be that the effects of it don't show up during the meditation, but show up in our life. And it shows up as being kind to ourselves and or being kind for others. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. Starting by taking a meditation posture. Whatever posture for you is comfortable. We like to emphasize uprightness. Often meditation is actually easier with uprightness, but whatever way makes sense for you and works for your body today. Tuning into the body, feeling the body. How does it feel to be sitting right now? Recognizing that it doesn't have to be different. Can we perhaps even bring some kindness to, yeah, this is how it is right now, as best we can. Tuning in to the experience of breathing, this body breathing, feeling the movements of the chest or the abdomen, or the air going in and out of the nose. Is there a way that it's an act of kindness to give your mind a place to land? To give your mind a gentle landing spot. And when the mind wanders, just very simply begin again. We don't have to add any story, or does it mean anything about us as meditators? It's just the mind wanders, and we begin again. Using this mindfulness of the body and the breath as a way to arrive at this moment. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's uncomplicated, simple, easy to feel warmth, care, respect, kindness, love. Connecting with this lovable being. And if it's helpful to say the phrases as a way to support our cultivating loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to connect with this lovable being. Allowing ourselves to feel what it feels like to have care, warmth for this lovable being. What is that experience like? If it's arising for you, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes we create the conditions which we can connect with the lovable being, but it doesn't mean it always happens. Perfectly fine if it doesn't. In a soft, gentle way, can we just hang in there perhaps with the phrases? If there isn't a sense of warmth or care, if there is a sense of warmth and care, how does that feel? Can you feel it in the body? Can it support you in this practice and in your life in general? And then to expand our loving kindness to include a good friend. Sometimes our relationships with friends are a little more complicated. We still care about them. Bring in a good friend to mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. We find our mind wandering. Just with kindness, we'll begin again. Doesn't have to be a big deal, doesn't have to be a problem. Bring into mind a close friend, a good friend, and extending some well wishes to them. And then to extend loving kindness to ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. After all those years looking after others, this old heart has finally learned to look after itself. Can we let our hearts look after themselves in this way? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. each act of kindness a stitch in this warm blanket that now covers me while I sleep. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to expand our loving kindness to include a neutral person, somebody we don't know. Maybe somebody on this Zoom call. Maybe somebody you see in the neighborhood occasionally. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Part of having a heart that looks after itself is also with some equanimity and maybe some boundary setting. So we can do some equanimity practice as a way for the heart to look after itself. So bring into mind somebody who's a little bit bothersome. Not the most difficult person. Somebody you know, you have a relationship with, but is sometimes irksome. And for this person, we have a different phrase for equanimity practice. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. So loving kindness practice is a way for this old heart to look after itself. Also a way to be part of creating a blanket, a warm blanket that comforts us, keeps us safe. I'm personally a big fan of blankets, you know, just this feeling of, I don't know, coziness, maybe, way of some kindness is a way that makes us feel cozy. What's the opposite of cozy is maybe not feeling safe. So this idea of loving kindness practice is a way of looking after ourselves. And part of the way in which we look after ourselves is to create the conditions in which we don't have remorse or regret or fear from other people retaliating from something that we've done. As well as just the good feeling of knowing that weren't hostile, that we did, were as kind as much as was available to us. We're not going to always be perfectly kind all the time. That would be artificial, perhaps. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas. Maybe this idea of kindness being a way for this heart to take care of itself. And when I'm saying kindness, I'm including kindness to ourselves as well as kindness to others. Sometimes when we hear this, we think, oh, it's just for others. But to have some kindness for ourselves as well. And so I'm just going to do a little bit of tweaking here. Put the two clairs together. That's probably easier for everybody. Okay, so let's see here. Sorry, this is taking me a little bit longer than it often does. Okay. Oh, yeah, people are leaving. So I feel like I'm chasing people. Okay, so here we go. We have some groups of three and some groups of four, and we'll meet like 14 minutes, just an opportunity to talk about this idea as kindness, as a way for this heart to take care of itself, and or a way that it helps create a blanket, which is something that helps us feel cozy and safe, perhaps. Okay, so I think many of you have been here before, just this idea of making one statement at a time. You don't have to say everything on this topic and then letting it go to the next person. And if you like, you can go in the order of the last digit of your phone number. Okay, here we go. Again, there we go. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? No.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Barbara, I see that you joined the picture with Fred. That's nice, leaning in and being in there. That's nice.
Yeah, he's my Sangha buddy. He brought me to the Sangha, and I really appreciate it. It's very helpful.
Right? It makes such a difference, right? If we have others to practice with.
It does.
Yeah. He's my Dharma buddy.
Nice. Otherwise, right, we wouldn't need to be having happy hour. Everybody would just be at home doing their own thing. But there's something about practicing together that really makes a difference.
Neil is my gratitude buddy.
That's right. Are you guys still doing that, Mari?
Oh, yeah. We do it every day. So I've been doing it for months.
You send
email.
And you list what you're grateful for?
Yeah, on a daily basis. And so there's Neil. It's nice.
I have two gratitude buddies, but they're not here. But I developed that practice on email several years ago now. It's wonderful. Always reminds me to look at the bright side of life.
Yeah.
It's so easy to go the other way. So.
And do you have a number? Like you have to write down 10,327 things per day? Three a day. And Marie-Christine, how many do you
have? We tend to do a minimum of three, but depending on how things are going, it might be longer. And then we always fit in a catch-up about what's happening in our life on that particular day, which is nice.
That's very nice, very nice. I'll say that when I started doing the gratitude practice, right now I don't have an active gratitude practice, but when I started doing that, just as Claire said, I just started to notice, things during the day. And one thing that I noticed is how much I was kind of like just taking my friends and people I interact with for granted, that it really highlighted like how much I appreciate these people, but I'm not telling them or letting them know very often.
And we really do have so much to be grateful for, but we're always looking at what's wrong.
So is part of the gratitude practice then telling people who you feel grateful towards about it? Or is it just noting to yourself?
You're actually sharing with the other person what you are grateful for.
Mm-hmm. But the person that you're sharing it with isn't necessarily the person for whom you have gratitude. I'm sure you have gratitude for them.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's just kind of like the accountability of sharing it every day with somebody. Right.
So today, for example, I went cycling even though it was cold, and I'm grateful that I went. It definitely made me feel better. I was resistant.
I tried to get a friend maybe to do this with me a couple of weeks ago, and so I started and I mentioned, I'm grateful that I have a roof, that I have food, and he wrote back saying that, I was grateful for the mundane. And I thought to myself, water is hardly mundane. Imagine if you were in Africa having to carry a bucket of water for 2 kilometres. Mm-hmm. I think it's anything but mundane. But he thought that all those basic things I was grateful for were mundane.
And they're probably grateful for the water. That's the irony. Yeah. Mm.
Well, I'm grateful for our sharing this practice together.
Me too.
So maybe with that, with kind of like a full heart, we'll say, if you happen to be on this continent, we'll say good night. But if you're in Australia, we'll say have a good day. Good day.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, everyone.
Good day, Maria Christine.
Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Stay well.